The Bible reading this morning is from Luke chapter 16, verses 9 to 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
So stand up if you are rich.
This is really interesting, except perhaps the television. And maybe these days a mobile phone. But if you have enough food and the other basic necessities of life, if you have a car, if you have some money you could choose to spend on leisure activities, do you know what? That puts you in the top 5%, which makes you richer than the 95% of the world's population. You're right at the top of the world scale. Who's very rich? Everybody here. We are all right there at the top. In the reading this morning, Jesus tells a story about a rich man. Now, Jesus' stories, Jesus' parables, invite his listeners to ask two questions. Am I in the story? Is this about me? And if it is, who am I in the story? Which of the characters in the story is like me? So the question is, in this story, who are you? Well, here's this rich man who all the days of his life has ignored Lazarus, a poor, miserable beggar sitting at the gate. Lazarus is just on the edge of his existence, part of the wallpaper of life. The rich man really doesn't even see him, goes past and it's like he's not there, invisible. In this parable, the rich man doesn't do Lazarus any harm. He even gives him the table scraps he doesn't have any use for. but he gives Lazarus nothing that costs him anything. He selfishly keeps everything that he has for himself, with dire consequences, the parable tells us, for him. Now, this parable doesn't condemn the rich man for being rich, so we can all breathe a sigh of relief. It's okay. If we're rich, it's okay. But this parable eternally condemns him for keeping everything that he has for himself and not even seeing the need at his doorstep, for not sharing. At the end of the story, the rich man wants Father Abraham to send a warning to his five brothers back home. But Abraham says, no, they have Moses and the prophets to tell them the score. What more do they need? And the rich man says, yes, but they aren't listening to Moses and the prophets. If someone came back from the dead, they would have to take notice. And this is Abraham's reply. If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they are not going to be convinced by someone who rises from the dead. Did you get that? They're not going to be convinced by someone who rises from the dead. Does that raise some images for you? Because it does for me. Isn't that Jesus saying to the Pharisees that he's telling this story to? If you won't hear Moses and the prophets calling you to share your wealth with the needy on your doorstep, you won't hear me either. I'm telling you the story, but you're not listening. And if you don't listen, you'll be like the rich man in my story. Now, the Pharisees might not have got what Jesus was saying, because this is before Jesus' death and resurrection. But Luke's community, the people for whom Luke wrote his gospel, looking back to Easter, they can't miss it. And we can't either. Though Father Abraham in the parable would not send Lazarus back to save the rich man's brothers, God has sent Jesus back from the dead to save us for our sake. And if we don't listen, we are the ones who are not convinced, even by someone who rises from the dead, Jesus himself. So this is a plea to listen to Jesus. Luke's put it there because he wants us to hear that. More than 2,000 years later, you and I, we know the Jesus story. Some of us have known it all our lives, from the time we were tiny, tiny children, and some of us heard it later, but we all know it well. That's why we're here this morning. We were the ones who needed help, like the beggar at the rich man's gate, the poorest of the poor, without hope, unable to help ourselves. But unlike the rich man in the parable, God did not ignore us. God came himself to share with us the riches of his kingdom. Did you know that the name Lazarus means helped by God? Not helped by the rich man in the story that Jesus told, but helped by God. So if Lazarus means helped by God, we are truly Lazaruses, each and every one of us. Because in Jesus Christ, God has helped us. We are not poor beggars, ignored and left to die at the gates by a greedy rich man. We are Lazarus, the poor beggar, who came to the gates of heaven and were helped by God. God has been generous to us. We are rich, rich in God's grace. So that now, because of Jesus, we are people of the gospel, people that of the great good news about God and what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. A people who know the story of God's grace because God has made it our story. It's our story. And we are the richest of the rich. So in the story, we are the rich man, but we are also Lazarus. Whether or not you believe it, you are rich in the world's goods compared to most of the people of the world, and you are rich in God's grace. That makes us doubly rich. Rich in every way. So remembering that, with that firmly in our minds, what does this parable have to say to you and me this morning? What questions does it ask us? If we are rich, then I think it asks us, who are the needy people at our doorstep? I think it asks us, who's the hippopotamus? I think it asks us, who's the armadillo? Because there are people on the edge of our existence that you and I ignore. We don't even see them. We depersonalise them. They're like a faceless group that we talk about. But they're not real to us. The poor. The refugees. Sick. The homeless. The disabled. Just this amorphous group in the background. What questions does that ask us? You know, I said before we're here this morning because we know the story. It's because a lot of people over a lot of years have shared the riches of God's grace with us. Let me know if that's true for you. A lot of people over a lot of years have shared the message of God's grace with us. The riches of God's grace have told us the story, have invited us into it, have shared their lives with us. I want you to think for a minute, who are those people? Who are the people who shared the riches of God's grace with you? Who told you the story so that you came to make it your story? Thank God for those people. Now here's another question. Who are the people in your life who are spiritually poor, who are without hope, who need to hear your story? Because you are the rich man in the story. Are you going to keep the riches of grace? Are you going to keep that to yourself? Or will you share it? You know, when we did that series, Just Walk Across the Room, it challenged us to share those riches. The series is over. If you said, okay, that's behind us, let's go forward and do something else. Because this parable says, no. It's about a lifetime thing. It's part of who we are as God's people. So if you are the rich man, and we've just said we are, who is Lazarus in your story? It could be a lonely neighbour. Or maybe some people in your community that you know who are struggling to make ends meet. Or it could be street people Or abused children, we've been hearing a lot about that over the past weeks. Or women caught in a web of domestic violence. That's hit the news lately. Or refugees. Or people with mental illnesses. Or it might be the victims of gossip. People who are bullied. And we all, I don't know about you, I don't think I'm unusual in that I see lots of instances of people bullying other people. What does God say to us about that? Do we stand by and let it happen? Or do we say, no, don't do that. No, don't gossip. Do we have a cuppa with the lonely neighbour and listen to their story and then share our story with them? So not only who is Lazarus in your story, that's probably easy enough to identify. The next question is, what are you going to do about it? Because Jesus didn't tell that story to entertain us or even to shock us. He told the story because he expected you and me to listen and to do something. To listen and to do something. In the parable, the rich man woke up to that too late. It's a joke that Adam Hills, I don't know if you like Adam Hills, but I've heard this story in a couple of his shows. I'm going to share it with you now. There was a balloon who lived in an inflatable town. He lived in an inflatable house with his inflatable family. He went to an inflatable school and all the other kids in the school and the teacher were inflatable. The headmaster was inflatable. One day, the balloon took a pin to school. He was called up to the headmaster's office and the headmaster said, "What were you thinking bringing a pin to school? You've let the school down, you've let me down, and you've let yourself down." Some are slower than others, but it gets there. Don't ignore Jesus when he tells you this story about the rich man and Lazarus this morning. If you do, you'll let yourself down. You'll let the church down and you'll let God down. Who woke up to an alarm this morning? Geez, you're good. You don't need an alarm to wake you up on a cold morning? You're wonderful. Then did you hit the snooze? The question is, did you hit the snooze button? You would have if you could have. It's that kind of morning, isn't it? Let's just stay here for a little bit longer. If your alarm clock has a snooze button and if you were to use it, it's nice to get that little bit of extra sleep, particularly on a cold winter morning. But there are two problems with snooze buttons. First, if you keep hitting the snooze button, you can completely miss on getting up and doing what it is that you were waking up to do, and you could miss out on something important. Like getting to work or getting to church or having coffee with a friend or whatever it was. Second, if you keep hitting the snooze button, you might get so used to the sound of the alarm that eventually you sleep right through it. You don't even hear it in the first place. So, if you are asleep in the light, this parable is your wake-up call. And Jesus makes it clear in this parable that hitting the snooze button is not an option for us as his people and his church. When God sounds a wake-up alarm in your life and says, it's time to wake up and follow me, to get going and to do whatever it is that God's calling you to do, don't hit the snooze button and say, not now, Lord, call me again a little later. It's not convenient now. I'm busy now. I've got better things to do. And don't hit the snooze button so many times that eventually you stop hearing God's voice at all. Because if that happens, when you finally wake up, you might find that you're too late. Are you sharing the riches that you have with the needy on your doorstep? Or are you asleep in the light? There are people starving on our doorstep. Not physically starving, in the majority, most likely. Not actual physical hunger, but maybe there are people with emotional hunger and spiritual hunger and many other kinds of hunger that you can satisfy from your riches. What will you do about that? Be like the rich man in the parable and do nothing. Because if you would, this parable condemns you just as it condemns him. Or did you actually hear what Jesus says in the parable? Do you share your riches with those who need them? Do you share generously or just give them the scraps? The clothes you don't want anymore in the lifeline bin? Few dollars to the charity collector at the door, or the Bible society, or school chaplaincy. A few minutes of your time in passing. And what about the great treasure of the gospel? The gospel story that God has entrusted to you and me, and who are his church. The Jesus story. How often do you generously share that story? In fact, who knows more about the riches of God's love because of what you did or said last week? Because if there is something about your experience of Jesus that this community, that people, other people cannot live without, are you letting people, needy people, die on your doorstep instead of sharing it? That's the big question. How many Lazaruses are helped by God through you? You don't have to answer my question. You don't even have to answer that question to yourself. But this parable warns us that God will ask that question. In fact, be quiet. Listen. Because Jesus is asking you now. Jesus is saying to you, you are the rich man. The needy are at your doorstep. What are you going to do about it? What answer are you going to give him?